feed off of, right?
For sure, for sure. It must be really hard for... Yeah, like, you know, it's hard to get that energy. I think some people can do it really well. I think if you are sitting and, you know, playing a guitar, for instance, and you have a really beautiful voice and you're a great writer, that can come across really well in a small room and webcast. But,
yeah,
like, trying to, like, yell at people through a camera and to... Well, do you know what I mean? Like,
no, I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
But, like, It's you can do it, but it's not the same, you know. And I mean, the same thing could be said about the beautiful intimate music. It would stir the soul a whole lot more if you were there in person. But
sure.
I don't know. There's just like certain types of it, I think, and certain people, I think. Like I've really enjoyed watching DA's cast. I've enjoyed watching Wax's. Like yeah. There's people that can do it really well, you know. I don't think I'm one of those guys. I'm going to give it another couple tries. What else is there to do, right?
Exactly. There's really not much else that you can do at this point, right?
Yeah.
But I totally understand what you're saying, because I always find that with what you do and what others do of your ilk on stage is like there has to be there's a statement being made, like whatever it is, and you have to drive it home. And whether it's if you're on a microphone and there's a big sounding stage and there's just a beat and there's your voice and your face and you're telling the people, you know, or you're saying this and this, that energy level to me is just like, okay, well, because it seems to be very quiet. I would picture watching you do it. So, I mean, do it again. I mean, what the hell? You said, right?
The DJ that I work with most regularly, Crime, he's wanting to try one.
Sure.
Doing another podcast, probably from his basement. So watch for that.
Maybe in December. Well, you could do a couple of them, and then by that time, maybe there'll be a cure, and then you've got to figure it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, you're listening to Steel City Music. Your host, Gunnar, here. And, of course, this is a pre-recorded show that airs on The Hawk every Friday from 12 p.m. till 7 p.m. My special guest right now is Lee Reed, who I like to call the fiery Canadian oldest, grumpiest man that I've ever met in Hamilton. This, with his personality, he always reminds me that not everything is what you think it is, and he's right 99.9% of the time. But there is a room for error with you. There is room for error. But I got to tell you, our last couple of conversations that we had over the year, I've after every conversation I've had with you in an interview, I would say to someone and go, you know, this guy doesn't vote. He said on air, he's not going to vote. All of these parties are all, you know, bleep, bleep, bleep. I'm not voting for him. And when they took the socialism out of NDP, I'm never voting for them again. And here are the reasons why. And I thought I would tell this story to someone else. And it was Matt Jelly. And Jelly goes, yeah, well, he's right. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You know, so like I always remember these conversations that we have, and it always changes my perspective just a little bit more on stuff.
Thanks, buddy.
Right? No, I listen, right? So and that's why when I brought about Murder Hornet Landlord, this last EP that just came out, I was wondering if you'd only just recorded just the five, or was there a whole other album of new stuff that I was going to be informed about? Is there a premonition album coming out?
I mean, there's another full length coming that will be produced much in the same manner as the last full length I did, Before and Aftermath. So I have another probably 12 tracks coming by that same producer. His name's Super 83. So that release, which was on Strange Famous in 2018, I'm going to hopefully do it through them again, and it'll probably come out next year.
Right.
But it's done writing, but I haven't started tracking yet. But it's pretty much in the bag and should be a pretty, pain-free recording process. So, I'd say sometime next year.
Was in the night like a thief shit. Crisis capital, COVID-19 shit. Renters fear with their eye full of tears. It's them renters leering, sticking us with spears. And yeah, but by the sword, by the knife, the landlord gorge, taking twice or thrice of this slice out of your check. Got hand round your neck, man. Staring direct plans of feeding your fam. Said, understand it. Economically, we bleeding. We bear the brunt of the COVID-19, and every investment sector's getting wrecked, and landlords still expect to cash your check. Check, check, you could protect that investment for landlords. That's more important than your medicine. Whether you weather it or if your kid's fed again, landlords got no fucks for your betterment. You get it yet? We gotta seize the means, man. Flip the script through COVID-19, and the market stop, dry walk to spark it. Pop that bubble on them housing costs and start this, spark this. Talk to your neighbor, man. Collectivize and response with your neighbor, man. State won't save you. Folks left to scrape by. Save for the basic. Food's on they plates. Face it, chase it, dream a better dream to get the most post-COVID-19. Tell your bosses, fuck back to normal. Landlords, catch more nutsack to gargle. Awful, markets are dark as shit, lost in no precedent or lesson from before it. The precipice at the edge of the drop. Keep your rent, landlords can fuck off. And aw shit, they go for cops and bosses and any motherfucker out here posting profit. Crisis capital, the shock fucking doctrine. Officers got robots building your coffin. Aw shit, watch this. Rona got the plot, condoning the motives of the ownership. Rotting that hold on economy. Gold all gotten from the homes all stolen, bought and resold again. Oh shit, notice how landlords are getting like 3/4 of folks pandemic benefit checks with threats and letters they sign this settlement. Fines getting leveled all the time in the tenements. It's evident they want to make us bleed and to pay the cost of the COVID-19 and the housing market propped up by losses. Working class folk back broke for bosses and all shit. The normal debt they want in back is just 2 step back to 1 step from collapsing. Capitalists insist they got a path. Catch us at the back yelling, fuck that, Jack. Write this shit in all cap. Facts, stats, and all that. Coming in masks and all black. Catch us at the back yelling, fuck that. Hold up, with your wages the moment, yo. Check the road, it's a long, long way to go. Smell the roses, petrol, and overthrow. New day dawning, it's the new normal. Hold up, would you wait just a moment, yo? Check the road, it's a long, long way to go. Smell the roses, petrol, and overthrow. New day dawning, it's the new normal. Hold up, would you wait just a moment, yo? Check the road, it's a long, long way to go. Smell the roses, petrol, and overthrow. New day dawning, it's the new normal. It's the new normal. It's the new normal. Get your new normal. It's the new normal. This is life now. This is life now.
Sometime next year, like what's the timeline like? We were talking like February, March.
You know, to be honest, I think I could get it done by then, but I'm probably going to plan to put it out in fall because what's the point in, you know, the only like I can put out digital music all I want and I enjoy it. I love making and creating something that's very right here and right now. But I mean, if I'm going to put out a full length, I would want to at least tour Canada. And it doesn't look like that'll be necessarily possible this coming spring. So,
no,
you never know, but I think I'd be giving myself a better chance if I play up to the fall.
Right.
So that's probably how it'll play out. But that's for the best, you know, like you were saying before, I just put out this EP, which I love, but it got no promotional treatment whatsoever, and there was, you know, nothing done in advance of it, or, you know, so I'm due for trying to do that a little better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I know that both the campus stations here in Hamilton were spinning it, you know, respectively. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really keep track of what the rest of the Canada's response to it. But I figured that you were getting spun because it's a very relevant album or EP.
Yeah, thank you. And what I got this time that I don't normally get was messages from critics who I'd sent it to, following up to say that they enjoyed it, that sort of thing. The response out the gate was actually really good. Bless Bandcamp for their sort of notification system. You know, I've amassed like whatever 1,000 followers or something on there. So when you release something, right, like everybody knows. So I was shocked actually as to the immediate response and how much it was purchased out the gate. And like the critics who I'd reached out to, who would normally say maybe thanks or something, had followed up to say this makes sense right now, good job sort of messages, which I don't normally get.
I think they should send it now because I think it makes perfect sense because this was what you released. This last one, Murder Tonight Landlord, made total sense with everything that was going on. For me, anyway, just watching you in the media and what was going on around us. So it makes total sense. So you have an upcoming, LP coming out possibly in 2021, which always leads to, where does one find the money to do the complimentary 2 videos per album? You know, it's, because that's what happens. There's like, okay, well, here's my album. Here's 2 videos, and you know,
and then
I get inundated. Like my lyric video on my Facebook, you know, and it's like, oh, a lyric video, super, thanks. And you know, it's the song. It's a lyric video. I don't know what to get from that. And I'm sorry if I'm crapping on people who do lyric videos, but it's just...
No, that's all right. I don't have any myself, but I've seen some that are all right. Rap can kind of be okay with those things if they're funky enough, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
Videos, yeah. You know, I got to be very honest. I hate making videos. I don't know if you know this about me, but I don't enjoy the process at all. I actually really hate it. And I've got a couple of videos that, like, are fully made that never came out because I just don't like them. Do you know what I mean? And, like, or half made or, like, started to get made, and then I'm like, nah.
Dude, you're like Prince.
Really lucky
Prince did, like, tons of movies, never released them. He's got vaults of it.
Enough?
You and Prince, same guy.
I don't know about that, but thank you. That's the nicest company anyone was working with. But
really?
I think so. Yeah, that's high, okay. That's high praise. But no, I feel really lucky. The last 3 videos that I've done with a videographer named Heat Score from an anarchist media collective called Submedia.
Right.
So the last few videos that I've had done through Submedia, and it's a relationship that was like forged over a long period of time, and I've like, you know, given them permission to use my music for videos and you know, projects and things like that, and I've long followed them. I've always like shared and been into their stuff, and then got to sort of personally know some of the folks from it a few years back, and just have gotten to know them better and better. So now it doesn't cost me an arm and a leg to make a video. It just costs me, you know, costs and 2 days of beer and good writing with some friends, you know.
But you said that you don't like video, but it's not like there's going to be any video where you're going to be this happy-go-lucky guy in a video where you have to do any sort of acting. I mean,
that's
the music, hopefully the music and what the music is about is reflected in the video. And I mean, when I watch the microphone video, I was like, oh, this is like, you know, you're not jumping around like a happy dude. You're upset.
That's true.
You know, even the one when you were dressed as Santa Claus walking around, I was like, he's so angry at everybody with this one. But it made sense, right?
Did you watch the video from Murder Hornet Landlord? That's my favorite new one. How You Live In is the song.
How You Live In?
Pretty funny.
No, I have not
seen
it.
How You Live In. You should be sure to watch that one. That's that was released with Murder Hornet Landlord probably about maybe a month after it came out.
Three hours without internet, and there's riots in the set, and there's violence within the next 5 to 6 minutes of shit living. You flip switch dipshits, ain't got time for the real life. Finest minds arrive to conclusion, designed to soothe you, science and illusion to boost your immunities against dudes who use truth from YouTube loops and deducing, dude. I get it, don't need the mood of phonetic or all of the effort, the data you're checking, Vatican record, matter of ethics, lizard people keeping us pets, deep in a mess, steeped, heaped in conjecture, don't test it, untested, state wrecked it, our destinies invested in this mess. I'm a pessimist, messing with stats and evidence against messianic Methodists. It's like Exodus, but Moses with weapons, roaming frozen meat sections in Texas. Text your selection, you're bad at the data collection, mad at your spending, status suspended, said send the troops, boosting morale for bootlickers, pals at the KK corral, kerplow. The West is fucking wild now, rock a vest for protection, also for style. Hey y'all, it's hard to get it, but don't forget how you're living in the pain that might be. Hey y'all, it's just beginning, but don't forget how you're living in the pain that might be. Hey y'all, don't you forgive them, man. Don't forget how they living in the pain that might be. Hey y'all, it's hard to get it, but don't forget how you're living. No cheap meat, the peeps in the streets would demand to speak with McMayor. Fix the conveyor, we want 6 McRich sandwich for the price of 1. Till this pandemic's done, fun cheeseburger bun solutions and I drink foods for large groups of looters. I'm part Marx and part John Luke in the booth, talking truth in my full space commie suit, dude. Too many folks that ain't coping, and a dose of the soma's about the best they could hope for. Hopeless, the whole social bargain's broken. Overcharging these folks for their homes, yo. 4 walls, a roof of your own, yo. TV, phone, a fridge, a stove. Most of your take home, sacrifice the basics. Life, they take you ripen in your prime, climbing a vine to financial crisis. Jesus, minimum monthly Christ, would you leave me alone? I cannot afford to be recorded anymore for quality assurance. I'm in a furnace, I'm koalas burning. I'm the fall of modernity, dur. Modernity, scary, canned meats and freeze-dried berries, trying to survive real life sci-fi. Hey y'all, it's hard to get it, but don't forget how you're living in a pandemic. Hey y'all, it's just beginning, but don't forget how you're living in a pandemic. Hey y'all, don't you forgive them, man. Don't forget how they living in a pandemic. Hey y'all, it's hard to get it, but don't forget how you're living, how they living, how you living.
I got to live, kid.
We will survive.
I got to live, kid.
We will survive.
Maintain it. I got to live, kid.
We will survive.
I got to live, kid.
I'm chatting with Lee Reed. You're listening to Steel City Music, and the name of the show is, Steel City Music. And we're talking about his last EP, Murder Hornet Landlord. What's the difference between Murder Hornet Landlord and some of your previous releases, as far as acceptance and the songs? Have you seen a level of notoriety in your style of what you do? Like, almost like as if you have to do something similar to the previous album, but you have to show some growth without being pigeonholed.
Yeah, I suppose. I think that this EP is most comparable to the Steel City EP, which I did in 2018. So this is so I've put out 4 EPs since I started as Lee Reed. And they were all 5 tracks. The first 2 were on purposely 5 tracks, because that's all we had. And then when I went to do the 3rd one, I felt like it would be a bad omen if it wasn't. And so I just continued releasing 5-track EPs. So this Murder Hornet Landlord is, I would say, most similar to Steel City EP in that it is kind of a concept album. Like, all the songs, I think, sort of thematically complement each other, you know what I mean? They're a cohesive sort of vision of the way this thing is that I'm writing about. And both of them were sort of penned like in an inspired state. Like it happened pretty quickly and I didn't stew on it too long and I recorded it. Like in both cases, the Steel City EP had some parts that were not penned over a sort of 2-3 month period, but most of it was. And then in this case, all of it was. And I don't think that this Murder Hornet Landlord EP would have happened if Steel City EP hadn't turned out as well as it did, right, to me and critically as well. Like it was also received really well. So I think once I sort of saw, like, you know, sometimes I'll write a rap song, you know, great, whatever. But when I get the sense that I can write like a whole bunch more on the same subject, and the idea that I can like put that together as one package and it has a cohesive sound and sort of ideology like that, that really turns my crank. So
when it's going like the saber tooth, that's that hazmat suit, black boot, mad soup can. Mama got the gas mask stashed in the clutch, not waterproof matches, she matches. Topographic map in the hatchet, last batch of Nana's canned pasta, sauce with the meatball, don't need a weatherman to know the whole thing blow. Nope, but don't think so, rope a dope lingo, baby ate the dingo. Flavor same as pork, that razorback war, earth scorch, that boar's gonna be gone by tomorrow. No time for sorrow, act like it normal, then learn to perform it. Your phone been recording, the drone got coordinate. Whole world bored of this Netflix and porn and shit. Can't afford another quarter till the check come next month. Gotta get some bullets for the tech, son. I keep a peg by my door that been packed with sword, knife, and axe, and canned goods and matches. Fine wine, canvas, and iodine tablet. Waterproof jacket, maps marked with passages. We're gonna vibe with the elements. We're gonna vibe with the elements. We're gonna survive in the elements. We're gonna get live, alive. Check the head, neck is all correct and not swollen. When the virus get a hold of them, their eyes will go a golden sort of piss bowl. Shit, bro, Rona's got us tucking from the get-go. Stressful, cancel all my sets, yo. Rambo, camo, ammo, more cans of Campbell's. Non-scented candles, packed to the handles. A bat for the vandals, a map for the stash. At the back with the K-ration packages. We all been happy with the battery. The generator's operating at a proper optimum capacity. We're glad to see casualties dropping, breathing vim high in the frost, eating squirrel meat sausages. I'm lost, I'm in the weeds and the brushes where mosquitoes and black flies eat a motherfucker up. Until the dawn light all night, I'm upright, waiting for my target, night vision goggles. I keep a bag by my door that been packed with sword, knife, and axe, and canned goods and matches, fine wine, canvas, and iodine tablet, waterproof jacket, map marked with acid. We're gonna vibe with the elements. We're gonna vibe with the elements. We're gonna survive in the elements. We're gonna get live, alive.
Elements.
The whole album together, and it makes sense from the first track to the third track to the seventh track.
Sure.
It has to be this way laid out because it's telling a story and there has to be a completion to it.
Yeah, you know? And so I think that, like, notoriety, I don't know about that. I mean, it's sort of, it had always been the same for me up until probably 2018, when that year I had that album with Strange Famous in the States, and I got to Europe for the first time, and I also had that Steel City EP, which got me a Polaris nomination. So from that year, there was a little bit of a step up. I think critics are more receptive to me being in their inbox now, or you know, that sort of thing. But I wouldn't say I haven't like changed my game or approach. I'm right. Still, you know, working 9 to 5 and doing music on the side that I love, and you know, I don't think a whole lot of that will change. You know,
you said something earlier, but if you start stewing on a lyric, what happens when you just start What's the process for you if you start stewing on something? Do you actually get it done, or is it just you never want to put it out?
I'm funny like that. Like I'll write something. I'll write like a whole song that I really like, and then like a month later, I hate it. You know,
just like that.
You know, or what more often happens is that I write something to a beat that I really like that I've gotten from somebody, and then I write to it and I'm like, yeah, that. And then, you know, 2 months later, I think of something better for that beat.
Okay, right.
And
it makes me
want to immediately cast aside what I had, right?
Yeah, I thought that was like an anxiety that you had, of like self doubt, because I talk about this with a lot of different artists, and you know, and some of them will, some of them, you know, I always say this story about Drew Smith from Wallow Star, that really, really great singer from Hamilton.
Yeah,
he had a great voice, great songwriter. And he finally put the album out. We were spinning it on the radio station. He was so excited. And then after we played the first song, just before we were going back on air, he says, "Hey, do you think there's any way I can get these albums back?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" He says, "I don't know. I don't know if everyone should hear this." And like he was having like a legit panic attack. And I'm like, going, "Dude, it's going to be okay." You know, but it made sense in a way, because
he's so talented.
Yeah, because it made sense because he put everything out there. Like he wasn't hiding anything. These were his thoughts, his feelings, and he was all out there, and it was very exposed. You know, does that ever happen to you though?
Probably not in the same way, Gunnar. I put myself out there in a different way, I think, than other people do. Like I can upset some people with the things that I say.
Sure.
And I think that I've lost friends, or I've had doors closed on me, or opportunities closed to me. But the type of stuff that I write about, it isn't really about my feelings. You know, I guess in a way it is. It's about my anger. It's about my frustration, about my want to do something, or it's this sort of feeling that we need change, or that sort of thing, I guess. But, you know, I think a lot of other artists are sharing like how they felt about their recent breakup or their mom dying or things like that, that I just, like, I don't even attempt to grapple with. So I feel like the stress that I put myself through by putting myself out there, I think other people would find that even more stressful, maybe. It's never really bothered me. I don't care if you know, somebody decides that they don't want to work with me anymore because I made fun of, you know, taco joints or something. You know what I mean? Like, if that's how it's going to be, then we're never real good pals anyway.
Did you say something horrible about Taco Time at West? Is that what you just did?
No, but I made fun of the gentrification process in Hamilton with the Steel City EP. And, you know, it was pretty, like, I thought the whole thing was pretty funny, but there's some pretty scathing criticism in there. And, you know, so it's like it's putting yourself out there in a different way.
The tacos, price like Toronto's, like $6.99, one fish mango tacos. Or bulgogi with the gluten-free chipotle coated taco shell spiced with nightclub vibe. They brought the taco, price like Toronto, $5.99, one vegan bean rice. Then they tap the craft, it tastes crap, and that crap will tap your wallet till it run dry. I can't afford the trip, bougie smoke is boarded, the flight to the nightlife vibe. How nice. Can't afford this stuff, let alone a mortgage, when the rent is unaffordable for my kind of life. They brought the tacos, downtown's awful, snobs riding high price bikes. The cost of tacos seems to be unstoppable, city got dollar sign. First you get the artists, then you get the coffee, then you get developers in waves like zombies, then you get the taco, then you get the condo, then you gotta go, cause it's not for you, yo. They brought the tacos, but also brought the condos, the cost of living's gotten so high.
I got 50 stories of landlord whore from my folks paying frontline rental price. They brought the tacos, all the fusion nachos. Say the downtown is alive and thriving. I see the death of it, the cultural deficit. How the cost of tacos drives our demise. Got single moms versus hottest restaurant. The city wanna get it all signed. They brought the dollars, inflated all the markets. They grabbed the whole 90519. So have a taco, forget about tomorrow. Fuse it with the nicest white guy spices. Have a taco, forget about tomorrow. City got dollar sign. First you get the artists, then you get the coffee, then you get developers in waves like zombies. Then you get the taco, then you get the condo. Then you gotta go, cause it's not for you, yo. Gotta go, cause you can't afford it all. And then you gotta go, cause it's not for you. Oh, and then you gotta go, cause you can't afford it all. Then you gotta go, then you gotta go. And you know, tacos are my favorite. My favorite. How you gonna take them, break them, remake them, change them into agents of gentrification? Ay, right? How you gonna try and make me hate them? The taco, the taco, the taco.
Lost some friends and you've lost some opportunities. Do you think the person that closes the door on you in friendship wise or working wise, idolized you, just made you out to be something that you're not, which was kind of like my question earlier, is that you get pigeonholed into this. This is Lee Reed. He's the angry, grumpy, blah, blah, blah guy. Right. And this is all he can ever be, but this is what I enjoy. But if you were to put out something slightly different from that, well, then, you know, I don't agree with it. You know, like I can't buy his music because he made fun of Hamilton and gentrification. When actually, you actually didn't make fun of anything. You were kind of like Captain Obvious, to be honest.
Right. You right. So, yeah, I would think so. I mean, I don't know. I think people just get, you know, everybody likes, political rap until it's about them. You know, everybody's fine with me saying all this stuff until it's about them. That's really what it comes down to, you know.
Yeah, it's almost like you're a stand-up comedian. The jokes are great at someone else, but when you turn it towards something that I think is about me, well, then you can't say that. That's not allowed,
right?
You know.
Yeah, and I mean, it's fine, and like it's not like I have, like, you know, vicious enemies out there or anything like that.
No.
It's not like that. It's just like, you know, there's people that were once a lot warmer that are now just acquaintances, you know, that sort of thing. You know, life, time goes on and things change, you know.
Sure. But that's part of life.
It really is. And I would do it all over again. The artistic decisions that I made and stuff, I'm really happy with them. You know, I think that everything that I put out, especially the last few years, I'm quite proud of. And the stuff that I got in the bag now to come out, I'm really proud of too. You know?
Well, there's always something going on that can inspire you to make people think or to talk about that sort of thing. And I think that's kind of like an obligation for an artist of your stature, that you do have to do things like that. And of course, I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I'm just dreading the next two albums from you, because I got a feeling it's just going to be people really upset with you that you've taken apart Joe Biden or someone else that has been built up to be, you know, the next Messiah. Right?
Yeah.
I won't. I'll spin it. I'll like it. But
well, thanks very kindly. Thank you kindly.
But I mean, you know, having said that, I mean, I guess you should be inundated with a flood of nonsense. I got to pay you a compliment. You did something that I haven't been able to do, that I've been slowly doing. And I don't think a lot of people know this, is that you got off Facebook.
I did. And you know, I used to be quite a loudmouth in that space, and Thank you. Thank you for noticing. It's actually been great. I would highly recommend it to anybody and everybody. It's a bit of a long story, but people that I work with, like I personally work with, had their accounts frozen, and organizations that we work with and people's personal accounts that were running them were shut down over things that I would consider to be pretty routine, like organizational things, like sending out event notices and just the content of what they're sending. Like, there's a very big focus in Canada on suppressing like any sort of like Indigenous uprising, and settlers are, settlers who support that sort of thing. Even all across Turtle Island, you saw Indigenous folks have long been the target of this sort of state surveillance. And when you see it playing out on Facebook, you see people just, their voices just being shut off to this space that we've all invested so much time and effort in building up. It made me really angry. And so some of these pages were shut down and some of these people's personal accounts were shut down, but it made me realize it's either going to happen to me or it's going to greatly hinder my ability to interact with like the community that I want to through my music. And so I just couldn't take it anymore, man.
Or made the crow or unleash.
I love my city, I hate where it's headed. Love the art, hate the way it's peddled by overzealous developers selling it. Fatidi, Bimo, Bella, to tell us the benefits of old white fella. The rich condo settlement developer telling us profits are part of community betterment. A huge infusion of douchebag is medicine. This town needs an enema from Toronto, pronto. More glass and condos, we'll need more grass, greenery, scenery. Some cool pop-up boutiques and a nice pastiche down this street. Will you please get the poor people out of the picture? Cause the rich have got to get richer. A $6 taco could fix it. A pitcher of blueberry wheat ale piss. And I'm sick of pretenses of good intention, like profits and not the raison d'etre. Like real estate's a charity venture. Improve community for new renters from spots with good jobs and pensions. Expensive, my peeps feel the tension. Rents increase, stupid, through the roof and the ceiling leaking. The landlords are evil, part man, part piece of feces. Believe this, real estate's full of the greedy, easy, DEV type peeps. Thieving from the poor, they've been stealing it. Drink the tears of the folks that are grieving these eviction. Cha-ching, the system, gentrification, colonization. All of the blatant ways that they take it. Displacement, that makes payday. Cause more pain equals more gain for them. What's your shared space, social innovating, place making, what's your incubator, incubating, invaders, expensive taste, erasure, it's a new start though, monsters, barfing, latte, art foam, it eats homes, neighbors, its favorite flavors, broke, and predisposed, to the renos, demos, constructos, the process needs more cops though, cops on horses, cops that use force on, folks in the core that look too poor, harassed daily, the classes face a hooray for this revitalization. Make way for capital. About half of your homes are gonna have to be resold, 2 to 3-fold, to the rich new people, till the cycle it starts to repeat. And the downtown core's just for the elite.
Controlled by price, controlled by police, or made to crawl or unleash. Controlled by price, controlled by police, or made to crawl or unleash.
I think everybody should, really. It's what I came to realize from it is, like, you know, I used to get in full-blown, like, three-day arguments in that thing, you know? Like, not long ago, two years ago at most. It took me a while to wean off full-blown argue, you know, day-long arguments or two-day-long arguments. But what I came to realize is that even if you are really patient with people and you walk them through things and you try to reason with them, just the very format itself, just you'll create divisions with three other people that you didn't intend to do. And it's just like, it just takes the crappiest parts of how people interact and discuss and argue and like just puts it on steroids and gives it guns and knives, you know, like it's really not a great place to work out anything.
No, it's not. And that's why I've taken a page away out of your playbook. And I went from having close to, I don't know, like 4,500 friends, like down to like 900.
Wow.
Because it basically it came down to, I was just like, it was a combination of memes, people posting live, laugh, and love. I can't, for one. I just can't live, laugh, and love if you keep telling me to. And, you know, Yellow Vesters, flat conspiracy, anti-maskers, Nazis, especially the Nazis, people saying that they weren't Nazis, but they understand the Nazi. Well, then you're a Nazi, you know, conservatives, you know, and then I found myself getting very angry, with everybody, who even wanted to discuss something about that, about a subject, which is like, oh God, unfriend. So I just got rid of all of these people. And now I think I'm ready to just make the switch to like just Steel City Music page. That's it. And just get right off of Facebook.
Yeah, man.
You know,
yeah. It's not good. Like, honestly, it's, it gives you a lot more of your life back.
Yeah. It's because you were talking about the communication being shut down, but to me, it's also an issue of mental health for people.
No doubt. No doubt.
You know, like that's a whole other thing.
Yeah. And I mean, sadly, there are things about it that are fantastic. Like, and its ability to, like, what it could do versus what it does. There's such a giant difference, you know? Like, what a tool like that could do and the way it used to work.
Mm-hmm.
I think was probably really helpful to people that had anxiety or mental health issues, and that they could use it as a way of like being in touch with people without
having
needing to.
Sure, or like, you know, being able to interact with people. And, you know, some people are agoraphobic, I think is the term. They don't go out.
Yeah.
And this is their only means of communication or socialization. And there it is. But I mean, with so much nonsense and vitriol that people put into it, it's just not healthy for anyone, I don't think. You listen to Steel City Music. My guest right now is Lee Reed. We were chatting about everything from Facebook to Murder Hornet Landlord to activism. And just to wrap up just our chat, we talked a lot about your EP, the future LP that's coming out, and how you're coping with the COVID and the pandemic. In the middle of all of this, what music have you been listening to that's turning your crank?
Yeah, it's a good question, to be honest, buddy. I haven't listened to a lot of new stuff. I've been really trying to think what's the best thing to tell you. We've been hunkered down doing a lot of writing. So I did the Murder Hornet Landlord EP. Also with a group of people that I work with called Rhyme Think, a collective of revolutionary folks. We put out a compilation about police and courts and prison. It was called Anti Up Volume 1, and all the proceeds to that go to Black Lives Matter Canada. It's a kind of a defund the police album. And I would say between the two of those, I honestly haven't done a lot of leisurely listening. I've like honestly just emerged from that and sort of a 4-month period of pretty much only listening to beats, writing, recording, editing, and thinking about it, you know? But there are a few things I'm excited about. A homie that I work with by the name of Kay the Aquanaut, also a member of Rhyme Think, a guy that I've been touring with now for like 7 years. He's a guy that I went to Europe with. He's from Saskatoon, but he lives out in Victoria now. He's putting out a record, I think in another week or two, called Ancient Fish from the Northwest. And it's really great. And I've been listening to that on the regular. I had an advanced copy of it. and his last, Nautical Blue. I've been listening to that a lot because I've been working with Kay. I've been listening to a lot of like stuff by people that I know that I've been, you know, working with. Unknown Misery has a bunch of new singles that I got my hands on. My homie C from Tester Logic has just a gigantic library of stuff that he's trying to put together a record. So I've been doing a lot of, yeah, like listening to friends' stuff and beats and that. Been in contact with a couple of producers in Europe, like guys that make hip-hop beats. And so I've been listening through to a lot of the stuff that they've already made with other artists and then beats that I've gotten from them. So it's been a pretty productive time for me. And most of the stuff that I've been listening to is either something that I'm working on or the product of something that somebody I'm working with is doing, you know? It's been one of those stretches.
It's a big old knot in the gut for me. Before all this, we already fucked from it. The world burns just to serve the corrupted. Smug fucks buying bulletproof trucks through it. Ooh, fuck, destruction's sick. The markets are all a bottomless pit. The future wallows in the present shit. The cause of problems profits from it. We caught a glimpse of the fraud. They pulled back the curtain on the great Oz. And facade cracked and it all paused. We saw the conflict, we gotta resolve through it. There's just no going back to shit. No two tabs of what backs are set back to it. No map or path to the math in this shit. Just midway past the start of collapsing. It's all happening, it's adapting. The capital snatching, maximum stack from it. Masses get the minimum passed to them. Gads, bats, and gases for just asking. No mask, they made it great again. Concentration camps, kids in cages. Labor wages, incarceration. They turn the taps to blast them to hatred. Flavor fascists, dash of freedom. They open carry AR-15s and leave their religion on repeat until they've mythologized they G.I. Jesus. Jesus, COVID, cracker Christ. They hold a life or they throw them dice. The courts enforcing corporate rights. The borders, cops, soldiers, and ICE. More to life than fear of debt. There's more to life than just paying your rent. There's more to live for than putting dents in your credit score during the course of a pandemic. And it's all hands on deck. They've invested us in Fortune, Forbes indexes, offshore scores, next best, stressed and chest protecting, Kevlar vests and shit. And we've learned to build a nest in it. Lessons tested, the Great Depression, the burned and the disparity is etched. And we learn it's solidarity or it's death. And we don't accept it, reject it. Trajectories of your interventions. No mention of bread or getting fed. We'll paint your floors and your walls in red. We're probably already dead from it. The future rears its ugly head at us. The devil jerked the chain on the neck and cracks the whip, says get back to stepping, kid. They've weaponized our fears, suggested threats to what we hold dear. They'll chart the loss of all the arrears, and they'll toss the hostages into the gears. Fizzy tears, the official beverage of the 2020 COVID pandemic. Cameras panned, the stands are packed with bankers, landlords, corporate backers. Chanting they want it back again. We're acting like it never even happened. And get us back into these spending habits. The assets amassed in havens of taxes. There's just no going back to shit. No vacation package and then back to it. No map, no path on the math of this shit. We're midway past the start of the collapsing. It's all happening, it's adapting. The capital snatching, maximum stack from it. Masses get the minimum pass to them. Catch gats, bats, and gases for just asking. So don't make us ask for it. So don't make us ask. So don't make us ask for it. Ask. Don't make us ask.
You're listening to The Hawk 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
Hey, my next guest, I've been really, really excited to talk to you today. All day I've been telling other people that I've been interviewing, hey, I get to talk to Ricky Butcher today. All right, get to talk to Ricky Butcher today. Can't wait to talk to Ricky Butcher. Can't do it till later tonight, but I get to talk to Ricky Butcher. So, therefore, beforehand, I click on the Ricky Butcher single and Sons of Butcher fame and all the other fun stuff, and I play it. And then I get hit with FDF. There is not enough tones for me to bleep this song. Like, it's impossible. I counted. I lost track at around 700, but I believe there's 998 in the song of 1,000 Fs. Welcome to the show, Ricky Butcher. Hi, buddy.
Hey, man. Am I allowed to swear on this?
Well, that means I'd have to bleep it. Yeah, so it's the funniest thing, right? Like, I'm just like, because the last time you and I chatted, you know, the other portion of you is Moonlight Desires, and it's the your take on 80s music or whatever, and it's great, you know. And then the Sons of Butcher thing for me was like, I guess most recently, I believe it was your partner in crime sent me a message saying, I need your face for a possible, and I'm like, oh, okay, all right. So I sent in my face, and there was a bunch of us from This Ain't Hollywood, and it was all part of a potential Ricky, or I should say Sons of Butcher episode, right? So
yeah.
there's this is all like kind of building up for me, right? So is there any offers on to get Sons of Butcher back on the air?
Well, what happened was we pitched Netflix with the open call they had, so we did this new pilot episode, which isn't complete, so we made a trailer, and you're the This Ain't Hollywood folks are in the trailer, and we submitted that to them, and we didn't get anything back. Like, they just said nope, not selected or whatever. So No criticism of any kind or anything. So it was kind of like, felt pretty kind of cheap. Like, it was like kind of like, oh, what's the point? But the good thing is that we do have this trailer and this new episode, so now we can start pitching everybody else. So
right,
the whole goal was just to get some content together that's new and the new look of the show. And so that's where we're at now.
Well, because Sons of Butcher, for a lot of us, was a staple that we used to watch back in the day. And plus at the radio station, we would always spin it and some of the tracks, that sort of stuff. And we would do interviews. So we always really enjoyed it at Indie 101 or C101, now known as The Hawk. I was getting like stoked. I'm going, oh, I can't wait for this show to get back on the air. This was always, I always found it a lot of fun to watch, and it was like a lot of fun. But I guess to make up for that, you got a new album coming out, and I'm dying laughing here because it's 19 tracks. It's 20 tracks. Well, that's including the wrap up song. There's 20 tracks. Where the songs are what? No more than 2 minutes long.
That's probably the longest one on the album, Song of 1,000.
Yeah.
That's like, the album is like, it's meant to be heard all at once. It's a 19 minutes, even though there's 20 tracks. So that tells you a little bit about what's going on there. But like some tracks are like a joke. Some tracks are a sketch, and others are songs. But they're all like different, super short.
Right.
You know, they're just, it's kind of like meant to be experienced as one.
As one long, one 19-minute play. I would imagine so, because as I was going through these tracks, and I can only listen to one because I was checking it out on Bandcamp as well, I was just dying laughing because right off the skip, it's big F and welcome. You know, track number two, play F that, you know. And then I'm like, but honestly, dude, as I'm reading through it, I'm like going, well, there's got to be one here. And like, no, every single one has a swear word in it. And then I thought to myself, you know, even though these tracks are really short, there's effort. There's this weird effort that you put into this.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I've been wanting to do F the album for like a long time. So it's like, I was trying to figure out how to make it cool. And I've loved Tenacious D and like some of the earlier stuff where they chat, you know, they talk between songs, make jokes. And so it's kind of like that. It's kind of like a whole, like, just a thing. It's like the guys we've assembled in a studio to cut this record. And so which kind of like experienced in real time, including the song Trying to F Off, where we just can't seem to get the goddamn song to start. We keep effing it up and stopping and arguing, and it's just like we just can't get the song to get going. It's like that kind of thing.
I applaud you for putting this album together, because it, because one side of me thinks, oh, he's just goofing around, whatever. But the other is like, no, man, this is like legit. He put a lot of effort into this. And the fact that you brought up the Tenacious D point of view is like, yeah, I get it. Totally. How long did it take you to record this album?
Oh, well, the thing with this album is the specific style I went for, because I do put a lot of effort into some music, and then some music I don't put any effort into. And sometimes the stuff that I don't put effort into gets really popular, like the song F the S, right? Like, like that song is like, it was on Howard Stern. It was like, it's all over the, people still know it to this day. So, yeah. And that song I literally just like, it's just like, it's not something I gave any thought to. So I took that same mentality to this record. I'm going to do F the album, and I'm going to like literally every song out.
Okay. So you're going to replace, you're going to do a version that's actually bleeped.
Yeah, because, you know, it's going to be Christmas soon, and maybe all those Fs is too much for the Holy Spirit. So I thought, I'm going to do bleep the album, and it's going to be all bleep songs.
Good Lord.
Song of a Thousand Bleeps.
Hey, before that, though, you did a track that I was listening to called Quarantine.
And yeah,
that's a hilarious one too. I mean, F the album in November of 2020. Now that it's coming out, but you did this one back in March. The timing's perfect for F the album coming off of quarantine.
Yeah, because that was like a good revisit of Sons of Butcher. We were all locked down, so we had no excuse. Let's cut some new songs. Let's do it remotely, and so that's how that came together. And then that was like, while I'm at it, I've got all these F songs in my mind. Let's get these out too. So it was all kind of a big brain dump in that period of time. And that's where all this happened. It was during the 5 months I was sitting at home and just recording. Like I actually recorded so much F the album melted my MacBook Pro. Oh. Like it was done. Like I haven't been able to record in months. I just got a new computer like recently.
Oh, good Lord. Hey, if you're listening to Steel City Music, your host Gunnar here. My special guest right now is Ricky Butcher from Sons of Butcher. New album, F the Album, which is out now. You can grab, you can go to Bandcamp and download the song, A Song of a Thousand Fs. There's about 20 tracks there. He'll slowly release them. But there's also a bleeped version coming up for Christmas, hopefully. Now, this album release party will be happening at the Casbah. What's the date on that one again?
So that's the day that the album comes out on November 27th. The album drops and we do a live show, and we're going to do two sets. We're going to do selections from F the Album in the first set. Second set's going to be all Sons of Butcher songs.
Right. And what's the ticket price on that?
It's they do it by table, so it's like tables of two or $35. And
okay.
There's, I think it's been selling pretty good. They have tables of four for $65. I do believe those are sold out. But there's also a live stream for $10.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's good. So and it's limited to like 40 people.
Yeah, 40 people, socially distanced tables.
Yeah.
I'm sure they got all the same. Wear a mask to your table, you can take it off.
And then, go to the bathroom if the drink, that sort of thing.
Intermission, get all your drinking going on in the intermission. And then set two, we have like special guests hopefully coming. It's going to be cool. It's going to be fun. It's a good way to kick off the F record.
Well, it's after this whole quarantine and everything and this, what you've done with the album for the recording, have you done any shows since then, or will this be the first time you're back on stage?
This will be the first show since, I guess, New Year's. I think that was like the last
really?
Time. That's the last time Moonlight Desires played a show. But
right.
Like Sons of Butcher hasn't done a show since like, oh, I don't know, 2013, I don't know. It's been 10 years probably. I don't know. It feels like forever.
Have you done any rehearsals? You must have like tried to get in a couple.
Yeah, we started to rehearse now for this gig because we're trying to do it remotely. But I think this Sunday we're going to go to a big gym space for a few hours and rip it out. It's like these songs are like ingrained, so they should come back pretty quickly. And all that, the thing with the band is that we all, you know, play these songs once and 5 months ago. Now they're like, Jesus, there's so many riffs to learn like on this album. And they're all like, and every single song title has F in the title. So it's like scrambling their brains trying to like remember how to play these songs.
That's hilarious. Hey, so now that you're going to be doing this on November 27th, and of course you'll push on social media and all the normal channels for everyone to buy this album. And then of course you say you're going to put a bleeped version, maybe for Christmas, if that's at all possible. Where does that leave Moonlight Desires now though? Because you were doing, from what I remember, you guys were getting some plays on radio. Campus Radio was very kind to you guys. I know at the Hawk we were spinning